always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? We're live. And
yeah,
only by definition am I alive right now. That sucked, Raj. That was like, if you could have before the game started outlined what the worst version of that game could possibly be, I still don't think you arrive at what we just watched. Like, unbelievable. Lakers lose to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Today's episode and this year's episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast here on YouTube is brought to you by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and reap the rewards. Man, Lakers lose to the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight, 139-96. Didn't lose by 50, I guess. They lose Luka Doncic to injury. They, even before Luka went down with that pulled hammy, his chances at winning the MVP had completely been erased. And it calls into question basically all of March. So other than that, Raj, how you holding up?
Yeah, I'm not sure it calls into all of March, but this was definitely because you don't get too many. I guess obviously there's a lot of bad things that happen in this game, but one of the most disappointing is you don't get a lot of opportunities to have a matchup that's this anticipated, right? Both teams relatively healthy. Both, you know, they're missing Alex Caruso. We're missing Marcus Smart. So both teams. But still, other than that, both teams are healthy, playing well. These are two of the more dominant teams the last few weeks of the season. And for the score to just end up where the Lakers are down 23 after the first quarter, went down 22-9. And even at that point, you could tell just the way the game was going. Like, there's some times where you're down 13 early, but you're like, all right, well, you know, the other team's kind of making crazy shots or, you know, your rhythm hasn't arrived. This game felt over from tip off, which is, I think, the most disappointing thing other than obviously the injury to Luka Doncic, which we'll see what, you know, the diagnosis is of that. But yeah, that's a tough one to eat in terms of where the season was going. So yeah, other than that, I'm doing well as well, I guess.
Bought a new putter today. I was pretty excited about that.
Okay.
Over the course of the show, we're going to be talking about obviously that game. Only the first quarter, honestly, was worth talking about. Like, it was just an absolute shit show from there, and then it just kind of kept leaking in the wrong direction after that. We got to talk about Luka's injury and the fallout from it. We got to talk about. I do want to have a conversation about like how real March was based on this game and our outlook on the rest of the season. And then I don't want to spend too much time, Raj, in this muck, because oftentimes like the worst thing that you could possibly do on a night like this is just allow yourself to spiral and think about like the potential ripple effects while the wounds are wide open. I would rather put a Band-Aid on it, rip it off while it's still bleeding, and then maybe talk about it a little bit. But yeah, we got to start with the final here being 139-96. And honestly, this game wasn't even that close. You know, this was heading towards blowout right from the get. And honestly, the place that I wanted to start, Raj, was this is like the second or third game where there was like a lot of hype and excitement and stakes assigned to a game that the game starts and you're like, y'all? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this was, I know there wasn't, I mean, obviously the Lakers had fallen down by 30 plus to OKC one time already this season. I think there was a game, was it against?
Might have been Boston. That might have been another one, but
they were dealing with so many injuries. It was like,
yeah,
whatever.
That game got out of hand, but.
Yeah, but there was a game where like both teams were on relatively equal foot. I want to say it was against a Western Conference team, either like Denver or Minnesota or something like that. And there was a lot of excitement going into whichever other game there was. But in this one, I was looking forward to this all day. I couldn't wait to get to the game. I couldn't wait to, you know, see what this matchup might finally look like with the Lakers kind of slotted into their proper roles and playing the right way and playing organized half-court basketball and defending and running on transition opportunities. And we got absolutely nothing of what the Lakers have looked like recently, which is part of why I'm not willing to, based off of this game alone, say that March was, you know, fake or whatever, fool's gold. Mm-hmm. But still, like, it is thoroughly disappointing that a game that everybody is looking so thoroughly forward to, that the Lakers showed up to it and were like, wait, you guys are trying? I don't know. What do you do with that?
I don't think this was a effort thing or, you know, the Lakers not understanding kind of the stakes of this game, the importance of it. I said this, I think, yesterday on a Jovan show where we kind of previewed this game. OKC has a level of physicality they play with and tone that they set that it takes getting used to. It's why they boat race teams. Now, the Lakers have played them enough times this year that I figured they'd be prepared for that in a way that it just didn't look like they were. And that's one of my concerns. Obviously, you played Cleveland, but Cleveland doesn't offer the same amount of ball pressure. They're not in the same universe, right? Going from Mitchell and Harden as defenders to what OKC throws at you is just a completely different monster. And then before that Cleveland game, you played the Nets, the Pacers, and the Wizards, which again are just not, you know, tests that OKC are that prepares you for a team like OKC. And I thought we did a lot of the actions that you could run against those teams. You want to throw a short angle pass against those teams, it might get through. Against Oklahoma City, no chance at all. Our first like real offense that we ran, Luka got a foul early on Chet Holmgren pump faking him. That was a good play. But the real like, all right, let's get some motion was LeBron and Austin run their patented side ball screen. Against other teams, that pocket is wide open, right? Against the Wizards, that's a canyon size pocket. Against the Cavs, there's a pocket there. There was no pocket open against the Thunder, and they ripped it right away. Jalen Williams went the other way, and I believe got Lu Dort one of his four threes. And then the following possession, Austin tried to enter it, I believe, into Luka. Ball pressure, ball denial right away. They don't give you nothing easy. Steal, I think Lu Dort got a dunk on that as well. There's just the level and tone of physicality the Lakers were just not prepared for. Not from a, like, we're going into this not understanding our opponent, from a you're just not physically prepared for what was coming at you. And I don't know who to blame for that at all. That was top down, you know, from every player in that starting lineup. I didn't like the shot selection by pretty much anyone. Didn't like the intentional, you know, offense that we were running. I thought defensively we were actually okay, but the turnovers leading to scores just gave you no chance, and this game was over early. So that's my kind of, I guess, answer on the Lakers coming out flat, which they did. They did come out flat, but I'm not sure if it was a just effort thing. If Oklahoma City pushes you into some corners that are tough to get out of.
I don't know. There were some offensive rebounds that the Lakers gave up early. Yeah. Like, it was just, to me, somebody made this point in the offside chat, and I think it's a valid one. OKC has heard all of the noise recently as to why Luka should win MVP over their guy. Like, the one thing that I truly do respect and enjoy about the Thunder is their collective culture, right? Like post-game interviews, they're all there together. You know, Shea wins MVP, they're all there together. What was it? J-Dub was being like had a high school jersey retirement or college jersey retirement, and they all showed up for it. You know, like all these things that, you know, seem kind of try hardish or whatever, or corny, whatever, like it's real with them. And I truly believe that they are very invested in Shea winning this award again. And I thought that they showed up here, and like every time Luka touched the ball, it was like, you know, like just laser focused on this dude that he was never going to be comfortable on the court. And I think by the time he actually got hurt, right, he was like 2 of 9 from the field. Three of 10 from the field on the night overall. And it's like, I don't know. I thought that like OKC approached this game with real oomph to it. That, I don't think it really helps that the Lakers had played the Brooklyn Nets and had played the Washington Wizards and had played the Cavs before, like leading up. I don't think that stuff helps. But it's also like, you got to know when you, it's like, it doesn't matter if like the guy before him was a knuckleballer. If I step into the box facing off against like Aroldis Chapman, who used to throw like 103, 104 miles an hour, I should be like anticipating that kind of speed. And maybe it's too much to ask to adjust to that in the box like that. But I never thought that the Laker, like it seemed like the Thunder threw the first punch and the Lakers were like, wait, hold on, we're throwing punches? Like hard punches? I remember in high school, randomly, poker and boxing were like two big things when I was in high school. And I had boxed like growing up or whatever. So like when boxing became a thing, we used to like literally tape off boxing rinks, like in backyards and stuff on grass. And we used to do this thing. And I boxed a buddy of mine and I threw a jab like right at the beginning that connected with his like a feel out punch, you know. But to somebody who hasn't boxed before, like what the fuck? Like
right,
that hurt, okay. You know. And that's kind of what I felt like watching the Lakers in this game was like the Thunder was like, and the Lakers were like, hold on, whoa. James Harden threw that punch the other day, and it was with a pillow. You know, it was tough to watch early in this game.
Well, yeah, I don't watch boxing, but the Thunder also, like, their A-plus punch hits at a place where I don't think anyone in the league can match, but certainly the Lakers just do not get to that level. And so I think this was an A-plus Thunder game. You got 4 Lu Dort threes. That's a place the Lakers, I think, were leaning on to leave open, right? That's kind of the one player in their starting lineup. They're like, all right, we're going to let you have your shots. And credit to Lu Dort, he hit 4 threes on him and just buried that defensive assignment. They went zone, you know, one time, and they got a 3 out of that from, I believe, Lu Dort as well. I think all their game plan went to hell. The turnovers just killed you, and you just can't turn the ball over against a team like OKC. They're going to destroy you. The margin that you're working with is already slim. Like, to beat the Thunder, said this again, my like goal of what was I was looking for in this game was just keep this competitive, have Luka, LeBron, and AR show and have their moments in this game. We're like, oh yeah, in a series, that's something we can pick on. That's something we can go to. Let's pocket this. Let's use this. Let's keep this. They found nothing in this game. Nothing worked. Their pick and roll game didn't work. The post-up stuff didn't work. Defensively, you can't really, I'm not sure what you gauge out of anything defensively, because how many points you gave up in this one. You were down 40 pretty much the whole game. And one of my concerns is they're just going to flush this game, and I think that would be a mistake. I think there's, you know, stuff you don't want this to happen again, not just against OKC, but these other top teams like the Spurs that can also run you out of the building like that. But 8 turnovers, I believe, in 7 minutes or 8 minutes, 16 or something points off those turnovers, you're dead. And then Shea just starts cooking you one-on-one. your defense starts to falter, right? You're not connected anymore. And Shea just got to the rim whenever he wanted. And that's like that's the disappointing thing. You touched on the MVP thing. I don't think this was a Lakers don't want Luka to get MVP versus OKC.
No, fall harder.
No, that, right.
It's the thing that Twitter, that people do on Twitter. I say the Thunder really, really, really want Shea to win this
thing. Right. And Lakers didn't want to do it.
Saying that the Lakers don't want him to win it. I just thought it was like collectively, I thought that the Thunder showed up with a purpose in this one.
And they also, they heard the noise, I'm sure, right? They're like, oh, Lakers are playing well.
Yeah.
Are they, you know, are they in Thunder's class? Are they contenders? And OKC is like, all right, let's, you know, we're going to come out gangbusters. Like we were messing around. We were BSing against these other teams. They were locked, focused. Everything they did was with intention. And that's not how they've been playing. Like Shea's been racking up these game winners against these bottom teams because they've been BSing around with these, you know, with these games that they've had. With the Lakers, there was no BSing around. Everything was locked in. They were on point. They're, you know, obviously they have an amazing coaching staff that gets their game plans for them. But it's just disappointing as hell. You get very few of these super anticipated matchups, and to have this one just be a flush down the toilet after the first quarter is just extremely disappointing.
It's I also, like, I want to be clear here. This isn't just the Lakers like shitting the bed here. Like the Thunder were incredible in this game.
They were amazing.
Like, yeah, they were it, one thing that really stood out to me was like the caliber of shots that the Lakers are getting compared to the caliber of shots that the Thunder were getting. And yeah, you're like, yeah, in most games, Lu Dort, in almost any game he's ever played, he doesn't go 3 of 3 from 3-point range in the first quarter. But all of his looks were just wide stinking open. And, you know, a lot of the rhythm that the Thunder got into offensively had a lot to do with the fact that they were able to play in transition because they kept on turning the Lakers over. And also, like, kudos to Shea because, you know, again, the conversation coming into this game was some kind of referendum on Luka's chances at winning an MVP. He had literally just hours before this game started won another Player of the Month award. And of the two guys who were on the court, even before Luka started kind of grabbing at his hammy, Shea was clearly the significantly better player. And he was, I don't want to sound as if I am saying that Shea looked like that because the Lakers didn't have Marcus Smart. It wouldn't have mattered. Like, there was nothing. Like, I don't think anybody in the Lakers organization, basically almost anybody in the history of the Lakers organization, could have stayed in front of Shea in this game. He was playing with purpose. He was getting into the paint, and he was getting into the paint, and J-Dub was getting into the paint. And you know, the guys who needed to grab offensive rebounds were grabbing offensive rebounds. Like the story from this game isn't Lakers shit bed, Thunder win by a lot. I thought it was Thunder beat the holy hell out of the Lakers.
Yeah.
And prove that they are rungs above them in these tiers conversations.
Yeah.
I'll cop to saying I was wrong when I put the Lakers in that conversation.
Well, I mean, the Thunder are just, again, this is their A-plus game, and they have, to me, and I felt this before this game, but this kind of made the point, this is the most talented team in the league by far. Like, 1 through 13, 14, they were missing Alex Caruso, who I believe is the best defender in the league, at least perimeter-wise, right? Big men have a little bit more perimeter, impact, but yeah. In any case, the best perimeter defender in basketball didn't play, and next guy just steps up. AJ Mitchell fills in. Kayson Wallace, obviously. Lu Dort starts for them. Jalen Williams is a good defender. Shea is a good, like, they just come at you in these waves where the amount of things that have to go right for you to win, I think they've kind of gamed the regular season. And I say this in, you know, in a positive light. They completely understand how regular season wins are created, and they are an absolute machine at creating them. They create turnovers, they have high pressure, and they have a shot creator that is spaced out completely with bigs that know how to play, make, roll correctly. I didn't watch one possession tonight where I was going, oh, that guy's in the wrong spot. Like, not one time.
Yeah.
You close out properly five times. Somehow Isaiah Joe is wide open. It's like every rotation was crisp except for the last one, and that's the one that kills you. You mentioned the offensive rebounding. That's part of their, you know, game too, right? It's Hartenstein, Chet attacking the boards. They are just a well-oiled machine in the regular season. And, you know, to the point of the March basketball, Luka had his first bad game in a while. I think the other one was against Detroit. And again, this to me was a Lakers F type of performance. No one shot well. Rui couldn't shoot. Luke Kennard, I think, dude hit one or two threes, but you know, it pretty much didn't matter after the middle of the second quarter. This felt like just an F game from them, from execution, from whatever the game plan was coming in, from I guess the readiness of OKC's physicality. And then you swap on the other side. This felt like an A performance. Lou Dort's a 33% 3-point shooter. He can hit 4-for-6 from three. Doesn't do it nightly. Doesn't do it consistently. Did it tonight. And all their other guys
to only do it against the Lakers.
Right. Yeah. Seems to do it against us pretty well. But I thought, like, forget his threes. And I thought his defense set the tone. And he does this nightly for that team. But you saw it tonight. The physicality to where, like, even the broadcast was like, yeah, it was a foul, but you're not getting that in Oklahoma City. Like, we're like, you're in Oklahoma, you're not getting that reach around call, right? I'm sure it is a foul technically, maybe on other nights. Against Oklahoma City, you're not getting these easy bump foul calls. That's going to be a turnover dunk the other way. And that's the stuff, like, we were down, I think, 31 against OKC the last time they were here in November. Same thing tonight, down 35, whatever it was. Just felt like two of the exact same game. So you get another chance. Hopefully Luka plays in that one. We'll see how the injury shakes out. But I'm hoping they get one more shot at this OKC team before the playoffs start.
Here's where I know I said earlier I wasn't gonna go down like I didn't want to like spiral downward as a result of this game. But the implications of Luka being legitimately hurt here are pretty insane to fathom because so I know that there's a lot of focus right now on like Luka would be ineligible for end of season awards, and there is
first team
a
NBA.
Cruel irony. There's a cruel irony to him not being eligible for those awards, given that like the final T that he got was a double T that I thought should have been rescinded. Had that not been rescinded, he would have been eligible for it or for them. So we'll see how that plays out. But like with in terms of like real life implications here, not individual awards, Luka, if his injury, so like a grade one or two strain hamstring would keep him out like a week or two maybe. And then when you start getting into grade three and four, you're talking about like months, right? You're talking about like enough weeks to add up to a month. If Luka misses the remainder of the regular season, that means the Lakers probably go into the playoffs as like a 4 or a 5 seed. They've already solidified themselves or 6 or higher. So they are definitely out of the play-in, which is good to know. But like you go from the Lakers could have been going into the playoffs at the 3 seed. Denver goes into the playoffs at the 4 seed, maybe the 5 seed. And they play the Oklahoma City Thunder in the second round. And the Lakers would potentially only have to go through one of San Antonio and OKC.